Chapter 2. Adventism. A unique worldwide movement. Unique message. In every age, there is some special truth that separates God's church from the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, was the prayer of Christ for his disciples. In every age, God has committed to his people some special truth which is directly opposed to the desires and purposes of the human heart, and which tends to separate his church from the world. And it has been the duty of his ministers to proclaim this truth, whether men would hear or forbear. Study the doctrine of the righteousness of Christ in connection with the law. I know it would be dangerous to denounce Dr. Wagner's position as wholly erroneous. This would please the enemy. I see the beauty of truth in the presentation of the righteousness of Christ in relation to the law as the doctor has placed it before us. You say, many of you, it is light and truth. Yet you have not presented it in this light heretofore. Is it not possible that through earnest, prayerful searching of the Scriptures, he has seen still greater light on some points? That which has been presented harmonizes perfectly with the light which God has been pleased to give me during all the years of my experience. If our ministering brethren would accept the doctrine which has been presented so clearly, the righteousness of Christ in connection with the law, and I know they need to accept this, their prejudices would not have a controlling power, and the people would be fed with their portion of meat in due season. Let us take our Bibles, and with humble prayer and a teachable spirit, come to the great teacher of the world. Let us pray as did David. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119, verse 18. Ministers may not appreciate the value of the truth they present. The world is to be warned of its coming doom. The slumbers of those who are lying in sin and error are so deep, so death-like, that the voice of God through a wide-awake minister is needed to awaken them. Unless the ministers are converted, the people will not be. The cold formalism that is now prevailing among us must give place to the living energy of experimental godliness. There is no fault with the theory of the truth. It is perfectly clear and harmonious. But young ministers may speak the truth fluently, and yet have no real sense of the words they utter. They do not appreciate the value of the truth they present, and little realize what it has cost those who, with prayers and tears, through trial and opposition, have sought for it as for hid treasures. Every new link in the chain of truth was to them as precious as tried gold. These links are now united in a perfect whole. Truths have been dug out of the rubbish of superstition and error by earnest prayer for light and knowledge, and have been presented to the people as precious pearls of priceless value. The Lord keeps truth fresh, placing it in new settings. How do you know but that the Lord is giving fresh evidences of his truth, placing it in a new setting, that the way of the Lord may be prepared? What plans have you been laying that new light may be infused through the ranks of God's people? What evidence have you that God has not sent light to his children? All self-sufficiency, egotism, and pride of opinion must be put away. We must come to the feet of Jesus and learn of him who is meek and lowly of heart. Loyalty to Adventist doctrine. Teaching doctrine and dealing with human minds is the nicest job ever committed to humans. There is pastoral work to do, And this means to reprove and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That is, he should present the word of God to show wherein there is a deficiency. If there is anything in the character of the professed followers of Christ, the burden should certainly be felt by the minister, and not that he should lord it over God's heritage. To deal with human minds is the nicest job that was ever committed to mortal man. Ministers must first be converted to the truth themselves. I attended the ministerial council and made some important remarks in regard to the necessity of the ministerial school and the importance of ministers spending some time in obtaining a drill in Bible study, which would qualify them to do better work. Thus, they would place themselves in the most favorable position to obtain a knowledge of how to work. This is necessary because there has been so much counterworking in our midst that the churches have received very confusing theories in regard to the truth for this time. It is essential that our ministers speak the same things in our churches and give the trumpet no uncertain sound. Our ministers need first to be converted to the truth themselves. Then they can go forth everywhere, bearing the message of truth for this time.
We are not to make less prominent the special truths that have separated us from the world. The message we have to bear is not a message that men need to cringe to declare. They are not to seek to cover it, to conceal its origin and purpose. Its advocates must be men who will not hold their peace day nor night. As those who have made solemn vows to God and who have been commissioned as the messengers of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of the grace of God, we are under obligation to declare faithfully the whole counsel of God. We are not to make less prominent the special truths that have separated us from the world and made us what we are, for they are fraught with eternal interests. God has given us light in regard to the things that are now taking place in the last remnant of time, and with pen and voice we are to proclaim the truth to the world, not in a tame, spiritless way, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. The mightiest conflicts are involved in the furtherance of the message, and the results of its promulgation are of moment to both heaven and earth. Ministers must not stand by as our doctrines are eroded. In a representation which passed before me, I saw a certain work being done by medical missionary workers. Our ministering brethren were looking on, watching what was being done, but they did not seem to understand. The foundation of our faith, which was established by so much prayer, such earnest searching of the Scriptures, was being taken down, pillar by pillar. Our faith was to have nothing to rest upon. The sanctuary was gone. The atonement was gone. The Upward Look, 152. Do not preach just that part of the truth that pleases the people, Paul exhorted Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are to give the message of warning to the world. And how are we doing our work? Are you, brethren, preaching that part of the truth that pleases the people, while other parts of the work are left incomplete? Will it be necessary for someone to follow after you and urge upon the people the duty of faithfully bringing all the tithes and offerings into the Lord's treasury? This is the work of the minister, but it has been sadly neglected. The people have robbed God, and the wrong has been suffered because the minister did not want to displease his brethren. God calls these men unfaithful stewards. The charge to his servants is, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. If the under-shepherds do their duty with fidelity, when the chief shepherd shall appear, he will give them a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Daniel saw their reward, and he says, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Shun the burning desire to get up something new and bring it in as new light. If we only knew what is before us, we should not be so dilatory in doing the work of the Lord. There are ministers and workers who will present a tissue of nonsensical falsehoods as testing truths, even as the Jewish rabbis presented the maxims of men as the bread of heaven. These are given to the flock of God as their portion of meat in due season, while the poor sheep are starving for the bread of life. Even now, there seems to be a burning desire to get up something startling and bring it in as new light. Thus, men are weaving into the web as important truths a tissue of lies. This imaginary food that is being prepared for the flock will cause spiritual consumption, decline, and death. Respect the rights of others by studying to see if their presumed new light is scriptural. We must learn that others have rights as well as we ourselves. When a brother receives new light upon the scriptures, he should frankly explain his position, and every minister should search the scriptures with the spirit of candor to see if the points presented can be substantiated by the inspired word. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24-25. Doctrinal argumentation. Some ministers are as dependent on the invigoration of argumentation as the drunk is on drink. Debating ministers are the most unreliable among us, because they cannot be depended upon when the work goes hard. Bring them into a place where there is but little interest, and they manifest a want of courage, zeal, and real interest. They depend as much upon being enlivened and invigorated by the excitement created by debate or opposition as does the inebriate upon his dram. These ministers need to be converted anew. They need to drink deep of the unceasing streams which proceed from the eternal rock.
There is danger in dwelling too much on doctrine. We are one in faith in the fundamental truths of God's Word. And one object must be kept in view constantly. That is, harmony and cooperation must be maintained without compromising one principle of truth. And while constantly digging for the truth as for hidden treasure, be careful how you open new and conflicting opinions. We have a worldwide message. The commandments of God and the testimonies of Jesus Christ are the burden of our work. To have unity and love for one another is the great work now to be carried on. There is danger of our ministers dwelling too much on doctrines, preaching altogether too many discourses on argumentative subjects when their own soul needs practical godliness. Preaching an incontrovertible truth may make the preacher overly self-confident and self-inflated. We have the most solemn message of truth ever born to the world. This truth is more and more respected by unbelievers because it cannot be controverted. In view of this fact, our young men become self-confident and self-inflated. They take the truths which have been brought out by other minds, and without study or earnest prayer, meet opponents and engage in contests, indulging in sharp speeches and witticisms, flattering themselves that this is doing the work of a gospel minister. In order to be fitted for God's work, these men need as thorough a conversion as Paul experienced. Ministers must be living representatives of the truth they preach. They must have greater spiritual life, characterized by greater simplicity. Those proclaiming the church is Babylon divert money from a channel of usefulness into a channel of evil. Those who advocate error will say, "The Lord saith," when the Lord hath not spoken. They testify to falsehood and not to truth. If those who have been proclaiming the message that the church is Babylon had used the money expended in publishing and circulating this error in building up instead of tearing down, they would have made it evident that they were with the people whom God is leading. If those who have done this kind of work
had felt the necessity of answering the prayer of Christ that he offered to his Father just previous to his crucifixion, that the disciples of Christ might be one as he was one with the Father. They would not be wasting the means entrusted to them and so greatly needed to advance the truth. They would not be wasting precious time and ability in disseminating error, and thus necessitate the devoting of the laborer's time to counteracting and quenching its influence. A work of this character is inspired not from above, but from beneath. Worldwide movement. Home and foreign missions are to share God's money equally. Home and foreign missions are to share equally of God's trust money. In planning for the work, the difficulties to be met in foreign fields are to be considered. Let not those who have every advantage be niggardly in appropriating means for the advancement of the work in mission fields. For Christ's sake, willing support is to be given to the work of the gospel, which is to be carried to all parts of the world. The urgency of the mission within our borders. In the great cities are multitudes who receive less care and consideration than are given to dumb animals. Think of the families herded together in miserable tenements, many of them dark basements, reeking with dampness and filth. In these wretched places, children are born and grow up and die. They see nothing of the beauty of natural things that God has created to delight the senses and uplift the soul. Ragged and half-starved, they live amid vice and depravity, molded in character by the wretchedness and sin that surround them. Children hear the name of God only in profanity. Foul speech, imprecations, and revilings fill their ears. The fumes of liquor and tobacco, sickening stenches, moral degradation, pervert their senses. Thus, multitudes are trained to become criminals, foes to society that has abandoned them to misery and degradation. Not all the poor in the city slums are of this class. God-fearing men and women have been brought to the depths of poverty by illness or misfortune, often through the dishonest scheming of those who live by preying upon their fellows. Many who are upright and well-meaning become poor through lack of industrial training. Through ignorance, they are unfitted to wrestle with the difficulties of life. Drifting into the cities, they are often unable to find employment. Surrounded by the sights and sounds of vice, they are subjected to terrible temptation. Herded and often classed with the vicious and degraded, it is only by a superhuman struggle, a more than finite power, that they can be preserved from sinking to the same depths. Many hold fast their integrity, choosing to suffer rather than to sin. This class especially demand help, sympathy, and encouragement.
Home missions prosper when there is liberality with foreign missions. The home missionary work will be farther advanced in every way when a more liberal, self-denying, self-sacrificing spirit is manifested for the prosperity of foreign missions. For the prosperity of the homework depends largely, under God, upon the reflex influence of the evangelical work done in countries afar off. It is in working actively to supply the necessities of the cause of God that we bring our souls in touch with the source of all power. Work for those suffering as a result of their own course of action should not hinder the work of foreign missions. Men's feelings may become greatly moved as they see human beings suffering as the result of their own course of action. There are those who are specially impressed to come into direct contact with this class, and the Lord gives them a commission to work in the worst places of the earth, doing what they can to redeem outcasts and bring them where they will be under the care of the churches. But the Lord has not called Seventh-day Adventists to make this work a specialty. He would not have them in this work engross many workers, or exhaust the treasury by erecting institutions for the care of outcasts, thus hindering the work of foreign missions. God calls for 100 missionaries where there is now one. These are to go forth to foreign countries. Self-supporting missionaries needed. A great work is going silently on through the distribution of our publications. But what a great amount of good might be done if some of our brethren and sisters from America would come to these colonies as fruit growers, farmers, or merchants, and in the fear and love of God would seek to win souls to the truth. If such families were consecrated to God, He would use them as His agents. Ministers have their place and their work, but there are scores that the minister cannot reach, who might be reached by families who could visit with the people and impress upon them the truth for these last days. In their domestic or business relations, they could come in contact with a class who are inaccessible to the minister, and they could open to them the treasures of the truth and impart to them a knowledge of salvation. There is altogether too little done in this line of missionary work, or the field is large, and many workers could labor with success in this line of effort.